Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, more than halfway through the general election campaign, it'll be a freezing day for many on the campaign trail this morning. But our reporter Brian O'Connell has braved the weather. He's been on Pembroke Street in Cork City Centre this morning, asking people there about the increase in house prices and whether they think there is any solution.
I think it's pretty rudimentary. I believe it's a supply issue. I think if you have a situation where you have two professional people who've gone to the trouble of educating themselves, have worked very hard, and are in their late 20s, early 30s, and wish to settle down and buy their own house, they haven't a chance.
We see prices are up 10% this year alone. The economists are telling us now that it's going to take a few years. We're going to see this trend continue.
So supply and demand. I mean, if we can't supply the houses, it's going to get worse and worse. I tried to get a plumber for my own house there recently. 4 weeks, I'm waiting for them. And they will hopefully show up, but I mean, they take your credit card details, they book you in, but it's a four-week waiting list for a plumber.
So when you hear all these promises about increasing the number of houses, we're going to do X amount.
And where are we going to house the tradespeople? Okay, so let's look at world population. I was born in 1971. There was 3.8 billion people on the planet at that time. According to the UN, we passed 8 billion people. So, I mean, we just really got to look at housing from a completely different angle.
Prices have gone up 10% this year already. Does it surprise you?
No, there's loads of work gone into it. So what can you do when you've got, when you haven't got the trades to do it? But they'll keep increasing until you get 50 or 60,000 houses done. So that's a natural commercial reaction to if you've got a lack of supply. But it's a factor all across Europe that there's a shortage of supply in the housing markets. This just isn't us. This is an international phenomenon.
House prices have gone up 10% this year alone. Does that surprise you?
It does, to be honest, yeah, because they were very high as it was. So if they hear that's going up, you know, it just makes it harder for a lot of people to even think about owning a home eventually, you know.
Have you any optimism that you think prices might come back to a normal level?
No. Who's to say they woke up 10% again in another 6 months to 12 months?
One independent economist is saying this morning that prices are likely to continue to rise for some time.
Yeah, as I said, like, you know, it'll take a long time before the prices go up for the ordinary person like me. You're talking for a decent house, or probably talking, if a single person working, could be 6 times your salary, which is totally unrealistic.
Obviously, more needs to be built. The young people that work in this country, like our own kids, I don't know how they're ever going to be able to buy a house.
Does it surprise you to hear that prices have gone up 10% this year alone?
It does, because since COVID, if you ask me, I think it's a COVID excuse. Everything has gone up in price. But something needs to stop somewhere with price increasing. It's the younger people. My heart breaks for them, really.
And a lot of them are still living at home into their 30s.
Yeah, well, I'm a fan of that word. Blessed, we've one daughter. She's 24. And if she stayed with me till she was 54, it wouldn't bother me. I'm sure it would bother her, all right. But
in terms of her prospects of buying a house?
Not great. Like, you know, she's working, thank God, and she's doing well for herself. But we don't discuss it a whole lot because she's not ready yet to think about buying a house, you know. I come from a family of builders, and one of them mentioned there recently that they were told if you're buying that, buy as much of it as you can because it's going up by 25%, a product that they use on building.
So stockpiling the supplies.
Yeah. You know, so like it's, I don't know where, how to solve the problem really, you know, and I'd be more interested in that really than cribbing about what it is. We just need to change something.
We just need to change something, people in Cork City Centre, talking to our own Brian O'Connell. So Una is with me here in the studio. The sentiment sounds fairly downbeat today, and I suppose this is in the time in the election. All the parties have big promises on housing and major spending commitments too.
Yeah, they do, Claire. And housing, of course, coming up again and again among voters and also in those promises from political parties. And look, we saw the CSO stats out yesterday showing prices are up 10%. And as we heard there in Brian's Vox, we We've got economists today saying house prices will continue to increase. We've had those warnings before, of course, as well as hearing about the lack of supply of workers and building costs increasing there. So that is an issue that has come up again and again with voters, as well as things like cost of living, where many voters are saying they just don't feel that they're doing that well financially, despite the economy that, I suppose, in a big picture way is actually thriving at the moment with near full employment and plenty of money in the state's coffers.
So there might be a disconnect there between the macro and the micro, the
Absolutely.
Lived experience. Simon Harris then has been speaking about the economy as well, and Ireland needing to be ready and prepared for this transatlantic trade shock that may be coming.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see that that's beginning to emerge as a real theme now and actually being used as a line of attack on other parties, Claire. Simon Harris said that a cabinet yesterday had discussed this with colleagues and talked about some international engagements he'd been having about the world preparing for potential policy shifts in the US after the election of Donald Trump there. Simon Harris was on News Talk Breakfast this morning and he said that work is already underway in some government departments to prepare for that, and that the next government is going to have to prepare some sort of buffer to prepare for that as well. He also said that his party, Fine Gael, is the only one keeping within spending rules, and he added that yes, this does mean that they're spending 27 billion euros less than Sinn Féin, but that they're increasing capital spending, like using the Apple money to invest in infrastructure. And Stephen Donnelly was representing Fianna Fáil on a panel in Virgin Media TV last night and also was talking about this issue. His message basically that we need to prepare now for instability in the economy post the election of Donald Trump. And essentially he was saying that it's not a good idea to have Sinn Féin in government now, claiming that they can't really be trusted to steady the ship.
And of course Sinn Féin strongly rejected all of this.
They do, of course, and Sinn Féin have repeatedly said that the biggest threat to people's futures would actually be another Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael government. And the Claire, Micheál Martin, you know, has been speaking about this as well in an interview with the Irish Examiner that's out today, reinforcing a point that he made with you on the show on Monday, basically saying that spending plans by all political parties might have to now be revised, since those plans were based on Department of Finance projections that are showing at least some windfall corporation taxes continuing.
Now, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald was the latest party leader to sit down for an hour-long interview on Virgin Media TV last night, and she was asked about the narrative that there are people behind the scenes in Sinn Féin who ultimately call the shots. What did she have to say?
Yes, so she was being interviewed by Colette Fitzpatrick on Virgin Media, and Mary Lou MacDonald was asked whether there is a layer of unelected officials telling you and other people what to do in the party. Mary Lou MacDonald dismissed that and said very firmly that anyone who works closely with her would know no one is telling her what to do. She said that of course she takes advice and works closely with people like Michelle O'Neill and Piers Doherty, but that the buck stops with her. And she was also asked, Claire, if as Taoiseach she would attend what the interviewer Colette Fitzpatrick termed IRA funerals, like the funeral of Bobby Storey in Belfast back in 2020. Mary Lou MacDonald's response was that she's fully aware that if she were Taoiseach, she's representing all the people. And when she didn't exactly give a definitive yes or no answer to that question, she basically said she'd balance representing all people, pointing out that she already attends events like Remembrance Sunday services and also Republican events like the GPO on Easter Sunday.
Now, we saw yesterday Fine Gael in particular criticising Sinn Féin's manifesto, but there was also an intervention by the Ukrainian embassy in Dublin about one particular line in the document. So what upset them?
Yes, so this is about a call in the manifesto from Sinn Féin for countries to stop supplying arms to Ukraine. In the manifesto, Sinn Féin did say that it condemns Russia's war in Ukraine, but went on to say Ukraine, Russia, the United States and the EU should play a role in bringing this conflict to an end by putting the interest of the people of the region above other interests. And it went on to say that all sides must cease the current unlimited supply of weapons into Ukraine, which has cost hundreds of thousands of lives. Now, in a statement yesterday, the Ukrainian embassy in Dublin said it was disturbed by the irresponsible call to stop supplying weapons to Ukraine and added that a lack of military aid will only result in mass killings of Ukrainians. Now, Sinn Féin spokesperson on foreign affairs, McCarthy, said last night that the party unequivocally stands against the illegal Russian invasion of Ukraine and has repeatedly demanded Russia end its war against the Ukrainians. same people. But he did say an escalation of this conflict is in no one's interest and we're facing a very dangerous situation. He also added that Ireland, as a neutral state, is best placed to be a voice for dialogue.
Now, Michael O'Leary has cropped back up into the headlines again with a Fine Gael link. What's going on this time?
So the Irish Times today, Claire, reported that Pascal Donoghue had a private undisclosed dinner with Ryanair's Michael O'Leary. And we heard then from a spokesperson for Pascal Donoghue who confirmed that he did attend a private dinner also attended by Michael O'Leary in Dublin in February 2022. The spokesperson added, no matters of policy, regulation or of a business nature were discussed and no actions resulted from that meeting. Now, the rules are that not every contact between companies and politicians have to be logged. It only has to be disclosed when matters like public policy or any amendments to laws are being discussed. Fine Gael leader Simon Harris this morning was out saying that there are, of course, clear rules around business engagements and lobbying, and those rules are followed. He also added it was his understanding it was a social dinner and not lobbying, and that it's not up to him to regulate who someone has dinner with. So that's Michael O'Leary there, back in the headlines for the second time during this campaign, and back out in the campaign trail today, Claire. It'll be a busy day for everyone once again, including AIM2. They're launching its manifesto. That pledges to appoint a junior minister to cut waste across government departments. That's something leader Pádraig Tobin has been strongly focusing on. They also say they're going to encourage workers like doctors, nurses and builders living overseas to come back home by giving them incentives like planning exemptions to build homes. The party also says it's going to create a new border agency to enforce immigration laws. Labour, meanwhile, today they're going to guarantee that there will be school places for every child with additional needs if they're elected to government. Social Democrats publishing its health and social care strategy. And the Greens are revealing details of a plan to establish an office of punctuality to improve public transport services.
Okay, Una, and you'll be keeping a close eye on it all, and we'll chat to you again tomorrow. That's Una Kelly there. Now, Adam Maguire finds out more about the companies that offer to test your DNA. You're probably familiar with those DNA kits. They've become very popular over the last couple of years. But how safe is your data in their hands? We'll find out after the break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.